Hello and welcome. I'm Richard from the Veg Grower Podcast, and this is episode 9. It's the 24th of October, 2013. Now, for this week's podcast, I've done something different. I've recorded little segments as I've gone on through the week. So they will be spliced together to make a big podcast. Something I'm trying. I quite like the idea of it, and hopefully it will make a better podcast for you. So on today's podcast, it's, as I say, it's spliced together. I'm talking about what I've done in the last week. There's going to be a review of, a talk about autumn sown broad beans, which is going to be another growing guide put on the website. But you'll hear it here a few days first. Right, so with that, on to the next part. Hello, well, it's Saturday. I've just got to the allotment. Well, I got here a bit earlier, and as I was walking down past one of my neighbours who happened to be up here, and had a bit of a chat with her for probably about half hour. Unfortunately, it is absolutely sopping with rain today, which is not making things the best to get outside. But currently, I'm just in the shed, just making myself a cup of coffee on a little stove. Gas stove I've got here. Then I'm going to go into the polytunnel and do a bit of cleaning, a bit of watering, and harvesting some tomatoes and chilies and stuff. And then find a few jobs to do. I'm not going to be here all day, but I will report back later with everything that I've done. Okay, so it's Saturday, and I've just packing up and about to leave the allotment to head home. So I'm going to give you a rundown of what I've done. Now, I went into the polytunnel, and I could see some of the tomato plants were starting to suffer from what looks like blight. I could be wrong, but I've stripped all the tomatoes off and just going to leave it and see how it does for the next week. Blight pretty much affects things pretty quickly, so within a week I should really know. And by salvaging all the tomatoes that I could, even the green ones, I'm going to guarantee a reasonable harvest out of them. Now, the green ones, they're still usable, even though they're green and not quite ripe. You can use them in things like green tomato chutney, which is quite a tasty, especially with cheese. Or leave them on a sunny windowsill to ripen. Or in a paper bag with a banana. The bananas give off a gas which helps ripen certain foods, which is why you should never keep bananas with the rest of your fruits. I harvested a few jalapenos as well, and some sweet peppers, and then gave everything a really good water. I came out of there. My outside tomatoes definitely have blight. They're pretty much dead. I'm going to burn them eventually, but we'll see how the polytunnel tomatoes do first, and so I can just burn them all in one go. But yeah, came outside. There's quite a few slugs and snails around, obviously, with the rain. I went to where the sweet corn was growing and just gave that a good tidy up and picked all the weeds up and stuff. I went to the potato bed and harvested a few more potatoes. Still not an amazing amount of crop, but not the best looking specimens of plants either. So there's still time. They're still not showing signs of any slowing down and growing, actually, so it's quite a relief. Harvested a few beans and peas again, and lots of tabberies. Still getting a lot of tabberies, which is always a good thing. After this, I cleared some weeds away and some brambles from in front of the old compost bins, so we could get to them and clear them out. They've got compost in them, which will come in use, and I'm gradually sprinkling this compost around. My two blue water butts are both completely full of water, overfilling really. So I've turned my attention to the small water butt in front of the shed, which was pretty much empty, and I've transferred water from the second of these water butts into there and filled those up. A few more rain showers and that'll be full up again, but I can transfer more water up to other water butts, the other water butts I have around. And I'm also going to bring that big 200 litre water butt down as soon as I get the chance. Had a bit of a tidy up in the shed and just a clear through of things. It's getting to that time of year where I'm going to have to start cleaning up the tools properly as well. They're going to need a good few hours spent on them. Now, just went around after this with some slug pellets and scattered those around. As I said, there's quite a few slugs and snails being the wet weather in that time of year. There's still some harvests in the ground to come, so I'm going to try and do what I can to save them, but also to try and stop them from laying any more eggs for next year. Had a few raspberries as well, always good. I turned my attention to the water butt at the top of the plot as well. I believe it's got a little leak, and the stand that I'd made for it, a wooden electrical reel that was starting to fall apart. So I've made a few repairs and just going to see how that goes for the time being. I have a feeling I may have to replace that completely and seal up a leak on it, but we shall see. Okay, so I'm going to head on home now, and I will talk to you in just a second about what I'm doing next. Okay, so Sunday now, and I'm at home. I'm pleased to report that the saffron is all sprouting. Lots of green shoots springing up, about 4 or 5 inches high. No flowers as of yet, but it's growing. And I think it's a good sign. This first attempt at growing saffron seems to be doing well. Obviously, it all depends on harvests. The water butt I've set up, that's going fine, the new one. Not much more to really report in the garden. But something I have done is sown some autumn broad beans. Now, this variety called Demonica, which is a new variety I've tried this year. Normally I've done Aquilis Collegia or the Sutton. But because I've I'm going to be now giving you my growing guide. Now, this growing guide is just how I grow it, what I do to make it grow. And hopefully it will inspire others out there to grow their own this way. Of course, you're welcome to add your own comments and stuff. The written article of this will be online in a couple of days. I like to sow some broad beans in the winter, well, autumn really, so as to get a harvest in May. And it puts my plot to use for the winter months, make things feel a bit more sort of lively when everything else is so dull. And like it's being productive still. I have sown direct or imports between sort of mid-October and mid-November, both quite successfully. All I do is simply place them in the soil or compost and give them a good water, and that's all they need to get a good start. They do sometimes need some protection, as mice or squirrels can dig the seeds up. But putting a cage wire over them can prevent this. As can put it in a greenhouse or a cloche, especially if they're in pots. Now what I've done this year is I've sown them in pots and in to start them off, and then in a couple of weeks I'll actually put them in the soil where they're to go. I'm going to put these in between the garlic and onions, one to act as a divide between each different variety of garlic or onions, and two just so as that is what I'm growing the early plot that's going to be productive throughout the winter. Now around mid-November, you normally need to pot the plants under a cloche, or cloche, however you want to pronounce it. And this just keeps them a bit warmer throughout the winter. Now, I have to admit, down here, there has been a couple of years where I haven't pot them under a cloche. And that's been fine. So it is possible to do without a cloche. But if you get an exceptionally bad winter, it may just give it that edge, just to help the plant survive a bit more. During the winter months, I generally find they don't need much watering, if they're in the soil, of course. If they're in a greenhouse or in pots as well, they may need a bit more watering, for obvious reasons. I don't think I need to go into that. But outside generally, because it's such a wet and cold time of year, the soil generally stays pretty moist. But again, that's up to you to keep an eye on and judge it. They, as I say, just keep them moist, and they'll start to shoot pretty and grow. I normally find that watering, as I said, don't need to do until probably about March, when the weather starts warming up and spring comes. By about this time, the plants are growing well, and you can probably remove the cloche about now. But just keep an eye on the weather, because it can get a bit of a cold snap, which may kill them off at this crucial point. But again, I've never had this problem. Around this time into April, the plants are starting to flower, and in order to make beans, they obviously need to be pollinated. Normally insects would do this, you know, your bees and your things like that. They're normally around about this time, although again, if it's cold or if you're a bit further up north, you may need to take a small little paintbrush and just stick it in between the flowers and keep moving along. Again, I've never actually had this problem, so it may not be needed. Leave that to your own judgment. Now, keep watering, and by about mid-May, you'll be harvesting your first broad beans. And simply just pick the pods when you feel the beans have swelled to a reasonable size. You can just squeeze the pods, and you'll feel them, and they're pretty good. And they're probably productive for a good 6 weeks, I find. And after they've finished cropping, I just cut the stalks off at ground level, leave the roots in the ground, and they just release the nitrogen into the soil, because they are a legume. They release nitrogen into the soil, and that feeds the soil. I have known these roots to sprout a second load of bean plants, but you can't rely on it. So there you go, that's what I do, and hopefully you give it a try. Okay, excuse me. All right, I'm going to be wrapping this up shortly. So, I just heard something on the news, which I thought was a really good way to finish this off today. I'm reading this off the BBC News page. It goes like this. An artist who works with oversized vegetables has crossed the Solent from Gosport to the Isle of Wight in a giant pumpkin powered by an outboard motor. Dmitry Galitzin sourced the 800-pound squash at the Marlborough Giant Pumpkin Show in Lancashire. He left Stokes Bay at 9 o'clock British Summer Time and made the 3-mile crossing to Wootton Creek in 1 hour and 56 minutes. Grower Mark O'Hanlon from Hesketh Park in Lancashire, who sold the pumpkin to Mr. Galitzin, said the artist had taken a great interest in the fruit. He followed it through, Mr. O'Hanlon said. He saw it growing, he came to see it being loaded. He was so determined this was going to happen, despite everybody telling him it was a bonkers idea. Going in the sea in a large vegetables is not a good idea. On Wednesday, Mr. Galazzini set a new world record of exactly 2 minutes for the fastest 100-metre paddle in another pumpkin, a 600-pound squash, also sourced at the same Marlborough show. He had spent several days working with the boating experts to create two pumpkin vessels. The larger pumpkin, the one he crossed the Solent with, was fitted with an outboard motor for crossing the Solent, one of the world's busiest shipping lanes, while a smaller one was hired out for the world record attempt. Guinness World Records said it had received notification of the paddle record attempt, which was accorded by independent adjudicators and will be examined later. To set a new record, Mr. Galazzini had to complete the paddle within 3 minutes. Mr. Galazzini, who creates giant vegetable sculptures influenced by English folk culture, has no sailing experience but was supported by Portsmouth marine entrepreneur Johnny Boys. A handful of pumpkin regattas in which boaters race each other in giant pumpkin ships has been held in the US and Nova Scotia in Canada since the 1990s. A pumpkin boat race also took place in Hampshire in 2006. Mr. Galazzini said that while sailing pumpkins was not common, the crossing over to the Solent was different to the regattas in the US, as it's over 3 miles and there are strong tides. He said the footage from the crossing would be turned into an artwork in a new year. I laughed when I heard this, and okay, it's not really why I think I grow vegetables, but it does make an exceptional use of a vegetable, another use. Not that I recommend it, but oh, how crazy. Right, so yeah, with that wrap up, as always, please do visit the website, theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk. It's all up and running and going great. Still waiting for people to comment though, so please do. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you again soon. Bye.